Thanks for listening to the Streams Church Weekly Sermon Podcast. We are a community that strives to know Jesus and to make Him known. If you like our podcast, subscribe and leave us a rating on Apple Podcasts. I sincerely hope you enjoy this week's content.
I totally forgot to mic up today. And so I'll use this microphone. Now, this is the way you do it. Hi, Brooke. The Townsends are here. Hi, girls. Hello, everybody out in Facebook land. I think we're getting this better at Facebook, and I've got a million gadgets here to try to make sure that we get on the TVs here. So we're glad you're here. We're starting a new series. My name is Lloyd. Next week is 4th of July weekend, and keep watching your Facebook, whatever. I think we're only going to have one service at 9 o'clock. We've been told how many of the people in our church are going to be out, leaders and all kinds of stuff like that. So be looking, make sure for Facebook, that's what I think we're going to do. And Trolls is tonight, so that's awesome. Bring your family. What they're going to do is sort of cool is they're going to section off the sanctuary with squares. And so we're trying to make it like a drive-in movie theater. How many of you have been to a drive-in movie theater? Yeah. So you bring your lawn chairs, you bring your blankets, you get your square, right? Whatever you want to do. Pretend like it's a back of a pickup truck. Anybody been to the movies in a back of a pickup truck? I have. It's a blast, the outer movie. So each square is going to be like the back. You just bring your stuff. You sit down. We got popcorn. We got candy. It's going to be a lot of fun. And we'll get all that together. So the quest. It's an unbelievable journey if you can't read that. So it's so important, I think, during this season. I'm going to ask my lovely wife if she can bring me my water. Thank you. It's so important during this amazing. I was totally not prepared for today. Thank you, baby. Woo! I think it's important during this season to start this journey because I think right now there may be a lot of people that are doubting what they knew to be true 6 months ago. And the calling of God, marriage, whatever. There's just a lot of things that have risen to the top that might make us doubt certain things. And so right now we're going to go through this series in the next few months. We're going to encourage you with three biblical characters, Abraham, Esther, and Paul. And our speaking team, we're going to share the load. You'll be seeing different people coming up. People in the Bible that just like you had a similar quest. Let me explain to you what quest means. Quest is, Quest is the act of seeking, the journey of pursuit. If you're going on a quest, you're trying to find something, you're on a journey to find something. And the thing about the quest in life, whether it's marriage or anything else, like in marriage is the mystery of two becoming one. That's a quest. And that quest is throughout your whole life, that you're constantly going on this journey, opening up new avenues, understanding more. We have some people here. I don't know if the original 101 Dalmatians, how many saw that movie? That was a long time ago. The opening scene's really fun because Pongo the doc, who has a single owner and so obsessed with his work, he wants to look for a mate for him and for, if you notice, his owner. So he's looking out the window. If you remember this, Pongo's looking out the window, and all of a sudden people are walking by, and he's sort of assessing. But every person walks by, their dog looks just like them. The hair is flowing, and that dog looks like there's a pug, and that owner looks just like that. And they're all coming along, and of course, another Dalmatian comes by, and she looks a lot like him. And I was thinking about that concept because I think it's true. I don't know if you've seen somebody been married long enough that they almost look alike. Have you seen that? Have you noticed that? Like, wow. And maybe it's just you've never associated the two apart, that when you see one, you see the other. And that is really the mystery of marriage, is the two becoming one. And it's just the most powerful thing that God spoke, that two can become one. Children, we have several that we know of in our congregation that are going to have their first child. So Mitch and Brooklyn are pregnant, and she's due, I think, in January. Yeah, pretty exciting. I'm not so sure, but both of their families, I don't think anybody's really got outside Oklahoma, so this might be the first child that's not an Okie from Muskogee. I don't know what you'd say about Phoenix or Arizona, but, that's exciting. We have some other ones that are going on. So we have this quest in marriage. We have this quest in parenting. And another one in spiritually, we have different quest that we go on. In salvation, right? In salvation, we have this quest of discovering undeserved grace. And it is such a journey that we'll be going through for the rest of your life. This concept of understanding it. And John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life." And it says, "For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might find life." And that pursuit of life that I started in 1977 when I gave my life to Christ, that pursuit of understanding grace is just a constant revelation that will take throughout eternity. It'll be a part of my journey in my life. And if you've never experienced that, if you've never come to a place where you have asked Christ to become your Savior and the Lord of your life, I'm going to ask you to do that right now. We're going to pray. And it's a simple thing. It's simply saying that I believe that you died for me, Jesus, and I believe that you rose from the dead. And today I give my life to you. So, Father, today we come to you, not on our own, not because of what we've done, not because of our righteousness, Lord. We come to you because of the grace that comes through the salvation of the sacrifice of your Son, that you sent your Son into the world to save me. And so today I choose that. Come and be the Lord of my life. And I look forward to a lifetime of exploring your grace. And I pray that in Jesus' name. And if you prayed that for the first time, either here or online, please send us an email at our church. You can go on our website, any of the pastors, streams@streamschurch.org. Let us know that you made that decision. And then the second quest, which really sort of fits into the series, is finding your divine calling purpose. And again, I think that that's a revelation that happens throughout your life. It's a quest we go on. I think that during this time, perhaps, many people, whatever has risen to the top, that you no longer feel worthy of any some of these quests, that somehow your calling or your purpose has been put on hold because you're not worthy. And that's why this series is so important, because we're going to take a look at it. And every quest has three elements. We're going to see this in the story. The first one is an unlikely calling. And let's be honest, man. Most of us married up, right? And you're supposed to shake your head at this time if you're out there. You're right, amen. Judy and I met. She rejected me. And then I wore her out. And then we dated. And then we got engaged. And then we were married in 10 months. I don't suggest that to anybody, but that's how we did ours. And the reason it was so fast is I didn't want her to figure me out. Because she would say, "I don't know about this one," right? Either we went to the fast plan. I think I could. And then, but hey, 34 years later, it's still working well. We're in that discovery mode. Thank you, Lord. Of she didn't know what she was getting into. But it was an unlikely calling that I made to her heart to join me. I know we're behind everybody else, but how many of you have seen the TV series now, The Chosen? If you have not seen that, it is powerful. It's a representation of Jesus like I've not seen. Right now, the only place we could find it was on Rediscovering TV. Or it's an app you can get on Roku, and then you can watch this series. It's the life of Jesus as he calls all his disciples, and it's just a powerful representation. But I love that when they're going by and they see Matthew, the tax collector, Jesus turns and says, "Follow me." And Peter comes running up. And he goes, "Do you not understand what kind of guy this is? Like, this is a tax collector. He's unworthy of being called." And in he's saying that, I'm giving the gist. Jesus says, "Yeah, that's the same thing you said when I called you. I'm not worthy of this calling." And every story we're going to look at has an unlikely calling. The other thing is, we'll see on every quest, is an unusual crisis. That there's speed bumps along the way. It happens to everyone in every place on every quest. So we're in the middle of this COVID crisis, and things have been exposed in our lives. I've seen marriages where things are now exposed. It's not what you thought it was. We've had things that we thought were buried, sins or temptations that we thought we had dealt with that come up in this time, this pressure cooker we've seen arise. And so what I would say about this, in this COVID crisis, we've seen some unusual crisis in our own life, but I think that's a great thing. It gives us the opportunity right now to deal with something so we don't waste any more years. So use this crisis that comes up as a place to really see God do and deliver you in a powerful way. And the last thing we see is, in every story, we see an undeniable confirmation that through this unusual crisis, we come out the backside and all of a sudden we realize, she still loves me. He still loves me. We're going to make it through this. We realize that God's calling in my life cannot be revoked. That His calling is sure. We realize that God spared my life. He spared me in this. That means there's something left for me to do. And every story, if you feel any of these things, the good news is you're not alone. So we're going to start off by talking about Abraham. So let's talk about Abraham. Did you know that America is a nation of risk takers? And I'm going to read an article here as I open up like that. That's why you see a lot of things like in our nation where people like, don't tell me what to do. Everything's for me. I'm going to make this happen. And so we're a nation of risk takers. Let me read this to you. It says, by 1640, this is from historynet.com, just 20 years after 101 souls came over in the Cape Cod Bay, American on the Mayflower sailed was in a long quest. From 1630 to 1640, more than 20,000 people, unnumbered livestock, had immigrated to New England and the New World. Settlers came as families, they came as individuals. But most settlers died within months of landing. I heard statistics that say the first wave, 1 out of 10 survived. And you got to know that news got back to England. But for some reason, there was still a group of people that said, if I make this trek, the odds of dying are better than me sitting still here and doing nothing. So we have a nation of people that come against the risk. In Virginia, all 127 members of a first Roanoke settlement in 1587, 120 people just vanished. Nobody knew what happened to them. In Jamestown, 66 of the first 104 settlers died within a year, and another 440 followed them. Yet still, with that environment, people came. Now, God's speaking to Abraham, and this is what he says in verse 1. The Lord had said to Abram, go from your country, your people, your father's household, to a land I will show you. We came because we knew it could be prosperous, and we heard great stories. In fact, when the Irish immigrated, there are all kinds of fires that your life could be turned around. This could be, you know, it was the gold rush of back then. Abraham was asked to go out of his country to a place that he didn't know about and that God would show him. Just leave. There's no promises on the other side. I'm not telling you about gold or whatever. Just leave your country. And that is a very odd and unlikely calling that somebody would have. Famous Charles Spurgeon wrote this about Abram's calling. He said, first, let us look at Abraham. Abraham's family was originally an idolatry worshippers. What he had to leave. He had leave behind him those who were very close to him, dear to him. He left behind him his native country to be a patriot. That is no small struggle. To leave all the associations of one country and bear with us one native songs to be sung in distant valleys. He had considerable property in flocks and herds and probably had the ancestral dwelling house to which he resided. He must give up all his agriculture pursuit, renown his vine, his fig tree, and go his way. He knew not whither, to a land which to him was unknown. It could have been the valley of the shadow of death. So he left. He emigrated to a country he did not know about. But Abraham knew nothing of it. But yet, according to God's promise alone, he left. It was a very unlikely calling that Abraham had. The second thing is, reading on, it says, in verse going on, it says, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse you. And all the people on the earth will be blessed through you. And that's the promise of God. What's interesting, though, when he says this to him, when he speaks this over Abram, Abram is anything but great. In fact, in that chapter where he speaks this, the first story we hear about is that there's a famine where he's landed, so he goes to Egypt. And on going to Egypt, he realizes how beautiful his wife is, which is a good thing to realize. But his answer to that is, if I go to this country, you're so beautiful, they'll kill me and take you. So when we go, tell them you're my sister. And he goes, and Pharaoh takes her into his own household. He's allowing that to happen to his wife. And all of a sudden, the curse, this curse, comes on Pharaoh's household. And they came back, and Abraham said, well, I lied about that. She's really my wife. And he's like, why would you do that to us? He had a lot of flaws. It was a very unlikely calling. When they couldn't have a child right off the bat, he turns to a handmaiden and has a child through her. And when the jealousies happen between his wife and her, he sends her and the son away from them. A very, very unlikely calling. So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. Now, here's the thing I want to tell you like this is, God is going to say to him later on, you're going to be the father of many nations. As the stars of the sky and the sun, the sands and the sea, shore, that's how your generations. But if you're going to call somebody to be the father of many nations, I would think you would choose somebody not as old as 75. I mean, if that's your goal, if your goal is you're going to be the father of many nations, maybe 25 might be a better calling. 75, she was 65. They didn't have a child till 190. If you're older, seasoned is what I like to say. If you're a little more seasoned, there's still hope for you. You can still, according to this, my great-grandfather, this is Arkansas Hills type conversation. He had 21 children, I think it is. And his last child was born when he was 76 years old. And his first wife died after 11. No wonder. And then his second wife was 30 years younger than him. So I'm just saying, it's not impossible. But Abraham's going to be a spiritual father to even us. And I have a song about that, but I won't sing it, right? Father Abraham and many sons, you are one of them and so am I. So let's just praise the Lord. Abraham is the spiritual father. Abraham, an idolater, a liar, sent his wife to another man to protect himself. He, unfaithful, sent his son and his mother away. This is a very, very unlikely calling. And many feel like they've done too much, gone too far. Maybe you feel like you're unable to be a part of God's story in your life. That for some reason I've disqualified myself. Or maybe I started on the journey and then I did something wrong afterwards. And people give up on the quest of their divine destiny. They give up the quest on what God is calling them to do, because they feel so guilty at a moment or another that for somehow I have changed the life's destiny. My marriage can't be successful. And through all my years of ministry, I want to tell you one thing. I have seen every situation and I've seen them turn around. I've seen some that haven't. I've seen some that have. And it comes to a place where you have to decide, am I going to say what God speaks about me, even in my own failure? Or am I going to speak what the enemy speaks about me? Because he's a liar. And so the declaration is this, that if God can call Abraham, into a destiny, unlikely calling, he can call you. And you're not done. And things are still ahead of you. So today I want to pray for you. And if you feel any type of guilt or condemnation only comes from one place. The scripture says there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. God doesn't bring condemnation. I love this story about You know, Satan, when he speaks against Job, and he's making all the accusations in heaven against Job and saying, God, don't you see this? And God, don't you see that? And haven't you seen about this? And I think there's this place where he speaks that. He's the accuser of the brethren, the scripture says, the accuser of people that are of faith. And I almost, this is my picture, is that he's looking down at Lloyd, and he's saying, God, don't you see that? Remember when he did that, and look at this here, and he da-da-da-da. And this is what I think in my mind when I think that. God's looking, said, no, I can't see anything because Jesus keeps getting in the way. And that's what I see. He's a good God, and he loves us dearly. And even though it's an unlikely calling, it can't be revoked upon your life. Let's stand. Let me pray with you. So, Lord, thank you for the opportunity right now to understand that you are a God who continues the calling and through all of life. And it may seem unlikely to somebody that either you called them or that you're still calling them. And I pray right now that that condemnation would be removed in Jesus' name. That whatever it is that's keeping somebody down, whatever has been revealed during this time, that they would realize that's just an opportunity to make it right so that I can go forward in what God has called me to do. There's no one here. I'm telling you right now, I'm speaking to some hearts. There's nobody here that is unqualified for what God has for you to do. And so I thank you for grace. I thank you for love. I thank you for forgiveness. And we choose to walk in that today. We pray that in Jesus' name, amen. Hey, I want to thank you for being a part of what we're doing. We're trying to cut our services down a little bit because the kids are with us. But don't forget, we have a thing we're calling overtime. Overtime is conversations that will be released during the week through our YouTube channel, through Facebook, where you can join in to secondary or third points, people sharing about what they mean. Have a great day. God bless you. Be safe out there. And thank you for being with us this morning.